So how's it going today? I hope you had a good Christmas. I certainly did, and it was definitely made better by how the Cowboys were finally able to clinch the NFC East after failing to do so last week. So just like I predicted last week, the Cowboys were able to beat the Buccaneers fairly without mostly without complications. It should have been a lot easier than it really was, though. The final score ended up being 20-27. It seems a little closer than it should have been, and that's primarily because of the last drive when they were playing prevent defense and basically allowed the Buccaneers to score. But other than that, I mean, the Cowboys really should have had this thing in the bag a lot easier than it seems like it did. I predicted that the Cowboys would win the game 20-10. And pretty much have it wrapped up at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And that's almost what happened. I think that is pretty exactly what happened. And like I said, it just seemed closer because of that final drive. But the game should have still been easier. And I say that because of the way the defense played. The defense, again, showed up and played a magnificent game. I mean, it was just perfect. Except for that final prevent drive, but that doesn't really count because they're just trying to waste time, really. So that doesn't really count. So the defense, as far as I'm concerned, played almost a perfect game. But I'm not satisfied with the way the game turned out, only because Dak Prescott again his struggles. Now I'm ecstatic. I'm happy that the Cowboys were able to finally clinch the NFC East and get their spot in the playoffs. As a Cowboys fan, that makes me the happiest. But I still, Dak Prescott still is a cause for concern for me. And I want to point out one stat that to me is very telling about how what Dak Prescott is capable of and what he is as a quarterback. And that stat is 20 out of 25 completion rate with only 160 yards. He did throw the one touchdown to Michael Gallup, but again, that's 20 out of 25 for 160 yards, passing yards. When you hear that stat, 20 out of 25, you at least hear 200 yards in there, right? I do. 160 yards is just not going to cut it. He needs to be better. When I was watching the game, at the same time, I was commenting on Reddit and looking around in Reddit, and I made a comment probably somewhere around the third quarter, at the beginning of the third quarter, saying how Dak just isn't good enough. He's just not good enough yet. And I got downvoted. And I'm not sure why I got downvoted. People need to stop. They need to stop defending Dak. What basis do they have to defend him? Yes, like I've said before, he wins games. But he's going to have to be a lot better than what he's been if we want to win a Super Bowl with him at the quarterback position. Especially if we're going to have a coach like Jason Garrett and an offensive coordinator like Scott Linehan. You combine those three people together, it's just not a good recipe for success. With those three people at the helm, nothing is going to happen. The best that we're going to do is probably win one playoff game and then we're out. So Dak needs to be better. And to the people who downvote me because I say that, respond with something. How is he better? I don't care if I get downvoted. I don't care if I get upvoted. But just like entertain the thought and tell me why he is as good as you think he is. Or good enough to win the Super Bowl. Because I don't think he's good enough. Not yet. I hope that he gets there one day because I want to see my Cowboys win the Super Bowl. But the way that he is right now, we're not going to win one. Especially with the coaches, like I said, with Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan. So I want to talk about how the defense really balled out again. Randy Gregory had a hell of a game. I was so happy when I saw Randy Gregory getting, I think he got like 3 sacks, except one of them got negated because of a BS call by the refs. He had the strip sack when then Jalen returned all the way to the end zone to score his first touchdown as a professional. That was awesome. That was great to see, especially, you know, with all the injury that he had. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to be able to play. Some people thought that the Cowboys had wasted a second round pick on him. And now look at what he's developed into. I'm not going to lie. I never saw him play at Notre Dame, so I don't know how good he was. I know that he supposedly was thought to be a top 5 player for that draft before his injury. So the fact that he's able to even come back and play is amazing, but the level at which he is playing is just ridiculous. I'm so happy for him, and I'm so happy for the team, because now with him and Van Der Esch, we have a great linebacking crew. So Randy Gregory had 3 sacks. DeMarcus Lawrence was able to get another sack after a 3-game spell with a dry spell with no sack in 3 games. To me, it didn't seem like it had been 3 games where DeMarcus Lawrence hadn't grabbed a sack. I think it's because he was still putting pressure on the quarterbacks. Even though he wasn't getting there in time, he was still putting pressure and it was still all over the face of the quarterbacks. So whenever I heard the announcer say that was the first sack in 3 games, it kind of surprised me a little bit because it didn't seem like it had been that long, just because he had been playing so well. Tyron Crawford gets injured the very first quarter, the second play, I believe it was. When I was watching the game and I saw that play happen, it didn't seem like anything had happened to him. It looked like a normal play where the offensive lineman kind of just rammed him a little bit at the head. And I did see that his head was kind of turned at an angle, and that's possibly what made it worse. That's probably what gave him a stinger or whatever it was that he had in his neck. I can see how that would hurt, but initially I thought he was going to be fine. I wasn't really sure why he was on the ground. And then once they took him out on the little cart, I was like, oh, okay, well, obviously he's injured for real. So hopefully he gets better. He's a very important piece to the defense. And he's a very important piece to the defense because Taco Charlton, when he gets into the game, he doesn't have a motor. He seems like he plays football as his job. He doesn't love football. He needs to have more of a sense of urgency. He needs to be more than just a man on the field, because that's what he is right now. He's playing as just another body on the field, just to cover an empty spot. So it did seem like Randy Gregory was in the game a lot more than usual, which was great for him because he played phenomenal this game. Just amazing. When he recovered that fumble, either in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, I'm not really sure. I was hoping that he would score, and that would have made me real, real happy for him. But the fact that Michael Gallup scored made me equally as happy, because Michael Gallup, the way he started the season to what he is now, it's a 180 turn. I mean, he is just looking a lot better, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with the fact that Amari Cooper is taking some of that pressure off of him and allowing him to be more open, have more one-on-one situations. Which he was one-on-one in that touchdown. And Dak threw a really good pass. But I want to go back to Dak's struggles for a little bit. Time and time again, I guess, is not the best expression, because he did go 20 for 25. But if you analyze the game, he went 20 out of 25 because most of the time he was dumping the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott or just doing short little throws, three yard throws. Very rarely did he go deep. And he was throwing high a lot. And this is a recurring problem with Dak, where he keeps throwing high. He missed high. I believe he missed high with Amari. He missed high with Gallup. And on one throw, he threw high to Cole Beasley, But Cole Beasley was able to catch that ball. And the announcers were saying on that throw, they were saying, well, Cole Beasley is really short and it's easy for anybody to overthrow him. Well, okay, that's fine. But you're a professional quarterback, right? So if you're a professional quarterback, you put that ball where it needs to be. If so, especially when somebody is wide open, like the way that Beasley was, because I consider that wide open in the NFL. That should have been a throw where he throws the ball while Beasley is on the run. Beasley catches the ball on the run without having to jump and goes for an extra 5-10 yards. But because he threw high, Beasley jumped to get the ball, stumbled, and somebody grabbed him. So those are the kind of things that Dak needs to be better at. And then I'll say that he's good enough. And then I'll probably get upvoted. But for now, he's just not good enough. So those are the kind of things that he needs to be better at. He's been holding the ball a lot. This has been a recurring theme for him for a while now, especially this season. And he holds the ball a lot. Sometimes he runs into pressure when he's in the pocket. He doesn't have that sense of where everybody's at, which some quarterbacks seem to have. Tony Romo's a good example. He'd always be looking the other way, but for some reason knew when somebody was rushing him from his blind side and was able to do that, his patented turn. But Dak Prescott, he runs out of the pocket and into a sack. And this, he doesn't do it just one. It's not like he's done it once. He's done it many times before. So there's a lot of areas that Dak needs to improve. Accuracy is one of them. Anticipation is the other. I've said this before. Amari is a very good route runner. Very, very good route runner. And he's going to get open. But he doesn't. Dak is throwing to him when Amari has been open for 1 or 2 seconds. That's not right. Dak needs to anticipate when Amari is going to become open, throw him the ball while he's still turning so that the ball gets to him and the defender is still away from him so that he has enough time to turn and go. Because Amari has that kind of speed where if you anticipate and you throw him when he's going to be open rather than when he's open, he's going to get that ball turned and turn upfield and he's going to be gone. And Dak just needs to be better at that. He needs to be better at pocket presence. He needs to be better at his accuracy. He needs to have the balls to go deep because he does not go deep. Because on a consistent basis, when it's third and long, he dumps the ball to Zeke, expecting Zeke to do something, almost expecting Zeke to save him. That's not gonna win us anything. Occasionally, that could be a good play, right? If you're trying to waste time, if you have a big lead. And that's probably why the Cowboys are very good whenever we already have a lead and we just want to waste time, is because Dak is going to dump the ball off. So we're going to waste time. So in those situations, it's a good thing. And you're probably going to say, well, the Cowboys were winning this game. Yes, the Cowboys were winning this game. But I'm pointing out the flaws for why we won't make it far into the playoffs. I'm hoping that I'm wrong. But this is what I think, right? He dumps the ball to Zeke on third and longs. And another thing that's not helping him is the play calling. Scott Linehan, the whole world knows what's going to be called. The whole world knows that on third and 15, you're going to call a screen, whether that's to Zeke or that's to Amari or Michael or Beasley. It doesn't matter who it's going to go to. It's a screen. Everybody knows that. And on that third and 15 or third and 14 against the Bucks, everybody knew and Reddit, everybody was commenting before it even happened. Here comes the screen. Here comes the screen. And sure enough, what happens? Here comes the screen. When I can anticipate your play calls for that whole drive, when you go three and out, me being an amateur and you being a professional coach, there is something wrong there. There is something very, very wrong with that. I should not be able to anticipate with that much accuracy what you're going to do for those three downs. Because guess what? If I know and that defense watched your tape, which they did, then they know what you're going to do. And that's bad. And that's on Scott Linehan. And by extension, that's also on Jason Garrett, because him being the coach, he should be the one that needs to approve every single play call that comes down from that booth. And him approving that, is giving, obviously he's giving the stamp of approval, and that makes him complicit. But enough about Dak, because I can ramble on about Dak for a really long time. Let's talk about, again, about the defense. Like I said, Randy Gregory had a great game. There was a BS call on him by the refs. The refs had a horrible game. I mean, on both sides, they were just calling terrible plays. And I don't know if it's because I'm a Cowboys fan, but it seemed like there was more bad calls against the Cowboys. On that one sack that Gregory got on Jamie's, where he kind of lunged a little bit at the end, he kind of drove him onto the ground. And Troy Aikman was saying, well, that's not really a penalty, and the league needs to get together at the end and do something about that play, because that's not really a good call. If by the letter of the rule, that was the right call to make in my eyes. That's not to say that I like the call. It's a stupid call. I mean, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to roll over and possibly get injured himself, when there was really nothing that was going to injure Jamie's on that play. All he's doing is just finishing the tackle, which is what they teach you to do, to finish the tackle. So that was a BS call from the standpoint that I don't like the call. It was a good call from the fact that if you follow the letter of the law, that is a good call. That's a penalty. That's a flag. Another BS call to me was the Xavier Woods hit on Humphreys. How in the hell is that an illegal hit? If he is leading with his shoulder and he hits Humphreys in his chest, didn't even touch his head, that's not a penalty. So you know how the league is very good about fining players when they get hit, when they hit somebody in the helmet or hit them with an illegal blow, then the NFL should pay whichever player they called on a bad call back for whatever bad call they call them on. And this is one where Xavier Woods needs some money. He needs a bonus, because you can't call that when it's a legal hit, an illegal hit. And if you're going to be fining people for doing illegal hits, then it should be the other way around too. And that's probably something that the players should look at. I'm not really sure if anybody's ever thought of that, but they should think about fining the league for every bad call that gets called in a game. And maybe that'll make the refs look twice at calling bad penalties, or at least make them reviewable. Now, I don't know if they should be reviewable. That would probably waste more time and be more, you know, it would probably just bring in more commercials, and we already know that that's bad enough as it is. Commercials within the game is just, it's just bad. We don't need it to get any worse on that end. So heading into the third quarter, you know, the game was a lot closer than I thought it should have been. And then all of a sudden, Dak Prescott turns it on. It's almost like if somebody told them, hey, Dak, you know, we're playing a football game here and we're trying to win. You know that if we win this, we win the NFC East, right? And we assure ourselves a spot in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, like, he was like, oh, yeah, you're right. We do have a game. We will get into the playoffs if we win this game. Let me just go out there and start playing good. Because that's exactly what happened. He just started making the right plays. He started throwing the ball. He started seeing the field better. And this is where I struggle a lot with Dak, because I like Dak in the sense that he can win his games. But he, like I said so many times, he needs to be better. So in the third quarter, it seems like somebody told them, they turned it on, they drive all the way down to the field, and they settle for a field goal. After driving all the way down to the goal line, they settle for a field goal. Why? Again, bad play call. Why are you calling an end around to Amari Cooper when you have one of the best running backs in the league? How in the world does that make sense to you? Why are you doing that, Scott Linehan? Which team are you on? Do you want the Cowboys to do good? Because it does not seem like that. So then, you know, the Bucks get the ball back. In the fourth quarter, they go all the way down. And they're it's a fourth down, and they need a first down to be first and goal. For it to be first and goal, I think they were somewhere. I think they needed to get the ball to like the 3-yard line. It was definitely inside the 5. And Jamie scrambles around. He tries to get away from a few people, and he goes down inches short of the first down. And immediately when that happened, I thought to myself, well, you know who makes that play? Dak Prescott makes that play. I would bet 100. I would bet everything I have that if Dak was in that same situation, Dak would have made that play. If the game was on the line and he needed to score, Dak would have made that play. If the game was not on the line and we were either being blown out or we were blowing them out, Dak probably doesn't make that play. But if we do absolutely need that play, that first down, Dak is going to make it. That's the kind of quarterback he is. And we need him to be that kind of quarterback all the time, regardless of whether we are being blown out, especially when we're being blown out, and when we're winning. If he's that kind of quarterback all the time, then I'm going to say that, you know, he's good enough. And then I scrolled down, going back to being on Reddit, I was scrolling through it also, and I see that somebody says, well, we should get Jameis Winston so that he can be competition to Dak. And I'm like, as soon as when I saw that comment, I just started laughing and I said, no. Why on earth would you want Jameis Winston? He's a downgrade from Dak. Somebody told me today that he would have a higher ceiling than Dak. I would agree from the pure football throwing standpoint. But as a football competitor and as a football player, his ceiling is not better than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott just has that mentality that he's going to win. And he has a good head on his shoulders where I don't see Jamie's having that, especially with his legal issues that he's had before in the past. No thanks. Bucks can keep Jamie's, or somebody else can pay him his money. Stay away from the Cowboys. We don't want you here. So at least that's my point of view. I'm not sure what you think, but I do not want Jamie's Winston on our team. So like I said, the Cowboys won. They clinched the NFC East. Next up is the Giants this weekend. I'm hoping that the players, that the starters play the first half and then they rest the second half. Hopefully they'll be fresh for what's looking like it's going to be Seattle. And if you've listened to me before, you know that I've said that the Cowboys would lose to Seattle if they meet them in the first round of the playoffs. I still stand by that statement. However, I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that Dak can come together and have another fourth quarter type of game like he had a fourth quarter against the Philadelphia Eagles, where he just was lights out, turned it on and was just lights out. I'm hoping that he can have that kind of game the entire game. And if that's the case, then the Seahawks don't stand a chance. But this team is going to go as far as Dak goes. And I'm afraid that it's not going to be very far. Had it been any other team, I think that if it's a different team, then I think that we can make it a little bit further. Only because I think this team, the defense and the overall Cowboys team matches up well against everybody else. But it's looking like it's going to be the Seahawks. But first things first, the Giants. So let's see what they do. I think we're going to win this game, even if we don't start the starters, really, because I feel like the Giants are going to sit Saquon Barkley. Why on earth would they play him? Why on earth would they risk him getting injured in a meaningless game at the end of the season to potentially get a lower pick of a draft in the draft where they can and then at the same time get their star injured? Seems like they should rest Saquon, and if they rest Saquon, then who else do they have? Nobody. So I think the Cowboys win regardless of who starts. And they probably will win. It'll be probably a close game. I'm thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game, somewhere around 17-10, 17-13 Cowboys. And yeah, so that's, there you go. That's my prediction for that game. Those are my thoughts on the Cowboys against the Bucks. I know that I rambled on a lot, but I really wanted to get in my thoughts today because it's been kind of a hectic week, and I wanted to at least get something out there so that you would have a chance to listen to it and give me your feedback and see what you think about my thoughts. Anyway, thanks for listening, and see you next time. Feeling a little generous? Support this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. That's anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. Any little bit goes a long way.